And that, my friends, is why we do what we do, right there. I couldn't resist during worship. Some of you over here, sorry you had to put up with my singing, but I had to participate, so I snuck over here. Was that not fantastic? One of the things we lack, and it's just there's just no way to find out other than moments like this, is really what's happening. So you do what you do. You know, we do 13 services a week, week in and week out, week in and week out. To what end? And to see the lights lighting up, to see the life change, to hear the stories. I'm very encouraged to see what God has done. It has been a tremendous run. But lest you think that the best days are still behind us, I will tell you the best days are still to come, because God is just getting started in this place. So I want to take a couple of minutes and I want to show you some things that we think God is stirring among us. It was just a year ago, by the way, that we assembled in kind of a different state of the church fashion and talked about a focus on spiritual formation. And in many ways for us, it was a regrouping year. And we tried to get our feet back on the ground. We tried to figure out what God was doing and how we could better equip the people. But we feel like we find ourselves now ready to leap ahead. And we think God is opening some doors that you need to know about, because it's going to implicate each and every one of us. But before we do, I have two concerns. We here at The Well, if you're new with us, if you raised your phone and you've been here 3 months or less, let me just tell you, we shoot you straight here at The Well. Good, the bad, and the ugly. And there's two things that I'm concerned about. Two things that if we don't figure out how to deal with, the influence or potential influence that we will have as a church will be minimized. First things first, I want to talk a little bit about the elephant in the room in situations like this, and that is giving. Let me show you what happened. When we started the church, we had nothing. We didn't even start keeping track of money until, in terms of like annual giving, till 04. That's the earliest data we can find. And then you can see things really went crazy, right? We grew a little bit. And then we grew a little bit more. And then things went nuts because we ended up at the North Campus and we had a huge jump. And we spent the next 3 years catching up to where we ought to be. You can watch that trend and just go, man, look, how good is God? And I remember sitting around talking about it with our elders. We affectionately called it the rocket ship, because it's like, look what God is doing. The thing is just taking off. And we kept saying, yeah, but you know, let's be careful. Let's be careful, because that might come. That's where we ended up this last year. Now, there's a lot of factors that influence the giving at our church. We have never been a church that has competed with anybody in terms of giving. We've always said affectionately, it's been a ton of fun and no budget, and I wouldn't want it any other way, and I don't think you would either. Here's the deal though, it's an indicator of something deeper. The issue is not that we've got just people giving, a ton of people giving a little bit. In fact, as we do the statistics, less than 15% of the people that attend our church ever give anything. What that says to me is we have a lot of people coming and not a lot of people participating in the mission of what it means to help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood. It's an indicator. It's a concern for me, because we will not be able to do what we think God is calling us to do if we don't deal with that issue. The second issue that I'm concerned about is service. As you watch service, not in terms of the services we do, but in people getting involved, as you watch and listen to the stories, what has always made this place unique is that men and women understand their faith is theirs, not just to hold and hide, but to invest, to give back. I see so many faces in here tonight that literally for a decade have been faithful to serve, but it's the same few, and it's time for the revolution to spread. It's time for us to realize, on the heels of a tremendous series of what it means to help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood, that we have an opportunity to do something unheard of in our city and in our valley. And it'll happen not because of a charismatic guy communicating on stage, as good as our teaching team is. It won't happen because of that. It won't happen because of the worship. It will happen because the people of God show up and get involved. But we realized that not only do we need to beat the drum of, hey, let's be the church and get involved, but let's live Ephesians 2:10. God has a plan for your life to serve. He has good works that he prepared beforehand. We need to make it easier for you. If you go to our website today, you're going to see a new serve page, thewellcommunity.org/serve, or go into the top right search bar, type surge. or serve rather. What you're going to find if you type serve is this site is going to pull up. And with a click, you're going to be able to see all of the service opportunities in various ministries. And with a click of the mouse, you can sign up. That'll go to a leader who will contact you. And now the door swings wide open. You say, well, I'm not sure where I might want to serve. Great. Just fill out the little info card that's right there on the serve page, and we will follow up with you. When you look at the whole concept of church, we are called to be an equipping church, to train and equip you to be the body of Christ. The ministry that happens doesn't happen on a weekend or a Wednesday night. The real ministry that happens is what happens when you are the church in every neighborhood, and we want to give you an opportunity to get in the game a little bit. Those are the two concerns I've got. Now, there's two areas that I feel like we need to re-energize. We need to step out a little bit. In typical well fashion, this is a launch-oriented church. We see the need, we pray about it, and we say, all right, and we go all in. We realize we need to go all in the area of what's happening online. Now, when you look at life moving online, I had the idea. I said, you know, maybe we ought to do online services. We'll do like an online campus, and it'll have a chat room and this and that. And I love our tech guys because they're so candid. They go, look, creepy dudes hang out in chat rooms. And last time I checked, hey, let's all get together and watch the same thing at the same time on a screen is called live TV, and that's dead. So let's not do that. Okay, that was clear. Thank you for that. And so we started brainstorming because, you know, everything's moving online. And what we realized is what needs to move online is the ability to connect in community. And so what we're going to begin to roll out is the concept of online life groups. What we want to do with that is add a component. Here's what I mean. How many of you are in sales or you travel with your job? Good luck getting in a life group because they meet every Tuesday, but you're in Timbuktu, who knows where, every Tuesday. So you can't get in a group. How many of you have kids and they get sick? Yeah, good luck getting in a life group. First of all, no one likes a snotty kid, especially when you bring them around other kids, right? And so you're like, well, I'd love to be in a life group, but forget it. How many of you have kids who travel in those competitive travel leagues, you know, future Olympians? A couple of you? It's very difficult in this busy life to find an every and always night available. Not only that, but what's happened is our church used to be a church where like everybody lived in similar communities. Now we've got people that are traveling in from out of Fresno. How many of you are here? I need you to like make a ton of noise. How many of you are here, but you don't live in Fresno? Would you make a ton of noise? So how are those people going to get into a life group? Because it's kind that you opened up your home in Fig Garden Village for them to come and join you, but they live in, I don't know, Oakhurst. They live in Visalia. They live in Madera Ranchos, whatever. The idea of getting connected, was that a gang sign you just dropped? The idea of getting connected is hard. Now, they might be able to make every couple, but then they're not going to feel connected. So online life groups using Google Hangout is going to be an opportunity for us where Google paid the money, they built the technology, we're just going to shamelessly steal it. And so what it'll allow you to do is as you're traveling, you can stay connected. If you live in another city, you can stay connected. We've got people from our church years previous who moved out of state who are literally chomping at the bit because they want to be a part of this community, but they live in like Oklahoma, all right? So now we're going to provide a chance. Are they here today? Creepy. We're going to provide a chance for them to stay connected. So those are two initiatives, or one initiative. The second, historically, we have said, look, it's a weird deal. I don't like church planting statistics because they said we would never make it anyway. So I go, well, what do they know? Why should I read their stuff? Because they said a church started with college students would be about 6 months and then we'd fold. So here we are 10 years and laughing for the goodness of God, right? But they also, and I think I got this one right, they also tell you that once a facility you're in gets 80% full, you're full and it won't grow. And for 10 years now, I've tried to prove them wrong, and they are dead right every single time. And so what we've just said is, look, if we plant and we water and God causes the growth, then let's see if a thing fills up to 80%, let's launch a new one. Now, the exception to that, of course, is our 7 o'clock service at North. We would love to launch another one. The problem is y'all hunt in a pack, and there's no way you can divide. And so you'd split, and then everybody kind of start tweeting, where are you going? Where are you going? And then it'd all end up in the same place anyway. So we said, that's the anomaly. But Fig Garden is not. So we are very, very excited to launch an evening service at our Fig Garden campus starting September 23rd. So for the vampires that are out there, we've got a service for you in the Fig Garden area. And I'm very excited because Dave has floated this to the Fig Garden campus and said, hey, we're going to need people to step up. And I mean, the campus just showed up by the 100 plus to say, I'll help pull it off. So fantastic. We're going to make room, Fig at 5. Those are some things we want to focus on. Now, here comes the fun stuff. We are going to take a concept that we have used and we're going to now blow it up. We have asked the question, so 10 years in, it's a weird thing, I'll be honest with you. We would go to like church planting conferences, and church planting conferences and like peewee football coaches have a lot in common. They're all trying to kind of relive their glory days through somebody else. So, you know, peewee football coaches, so how much you bench? You know, it's like, who cares anymore? Pastors at church planting conferences want to know how many you're running. How many are you running? In the early days, I'm like, 150. They're like, oh, and they move on. I'm like, what? What's wrong with 150? They're great people, right? Well, they're listening now. And now we're wondering, what is the stewardship that God has given us? Look, there are smarter churches, there are better pastors, there are more intelligent places, there are more effective places, but we're just saying, it's really not about us versus them, it's just about us and us. What is God asking us to do? And what we feel like is God is asking us to get out there a little bit and say something about what we're doing and try to help people. What we found is some churches now are coming into town and wanting to know, hey, what are you doing for this? What are you doing for that? And we're like, well, we're doing this. They go, oh, I've never heard of that. It's great. I'm like, oh, awesome. I didn't know it was so great, but fantastic. Or, hey, they're like, we're thinking about doing XYZ. We're like, oh, dude, we started that like 3 years ago. And so the example that we have of helping other churches, we realize we want to take it and export it. And so we're launching a concept that we are calling ADA. Now, ADA is a word we're all familiar with, or at least if you've been around the well for a while, it's a bad name for a cafe, which isn't even a cafe. Figure that out, okay? It's just a name we've used to brand the place where we hang out. In Fig, it's the courtyard. In Clovis, it's a little entry area. In North, it's, I don't know, everywhere and nowhere. Because just it's a place where we hang out. That's what it means, is a gathering or a congregation, an assembly of people. We are going to launch a church planting network called ADA. ADA is a network of faith communities and churches. Faith communities, let me tell you what that is. We're getting calls from people from other cities going, dude, I want to do what you're doing in my city. I don't want to drive all the way in. I'm thinking that sounds a lot like Turlock and Kingsburg. It is, but it's different. Because Turlock and Kingsburg were an easy maybe one, maybe two. There's potential to do dozens of these, if not more. And so we're thinking, whoa, well, we better figure out how to do them. And so we're launching ADA, a network of faith communities, which is, hey, we want to listen to the message in our city. And we go, all right, here. Here's some things some other people are doing. Here's some contact names of the people in our network that are already doing it. Go for it. And they say, well, now we want to rent a facility. We want to be a church. And we go, okay. Start with some advisors, get some elders. Here's the doctrine. Do you agree with that? Yeah, great. Launch a church. The reason it's interesting is because church plants need a guy who's got three skills. He's got to be a teacher, a shepherd, and a leader. Very hard to find a person with all three. Guy's a great leader, but he can't teach. He's not going to keep a crowd. Guy's a great teacher, but he can't shepherd the people. People are going to leave because it's cold. Right? So how do you find all three? What we're saying is we'll provide a lot of the vision, a lot of the philosophy of ministry. We'll even provide the teaching if you want to use it, because I don't know about you, I think our teaching team is nails. So we'll provide that. If you and your advisors or elders want you to teach live, go ahead. We don't care. If you want to not play the video anymore, go ahead. We don't care. All we're saying is we're already doing it. We're going to make it available. Here's the other advantage. You say, well, I don't want to be a church plant. That sounds crazy. It's not that hard for you now because we're providing all the resources for you to make it happen. So now you get a group of people together, they fill your living room, you go, we're full, go to your living room too. Now you got two living rooms. At some point, you got to call it what it is. It's a church. So find a point person who's willing to push play on a DVD player and can stand up there and do an announcement, and we can help you plant a church. And the hope would be we get to do this everywhere and anywhere that God opens the door. I'll give you an example. 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago now, maybe I'm teaching at Hume Lake. This gal comes up. She's from Utah. She says, hey, we're in Utah. We love the teaching of the Well and the teaching team. Would it be okay with you if we just got friends of ours over to our living room and push play, lived out our faith in where God has placed us here in Utah, and just played the messages from the Well? Is that okay? Yeah, I guess I don't care. I mean, it's online. Do what you want with it, right? So what if we got more intentional about that? And now you're getting those people together on an annual basis. Now you're sharing best practices. Hey, what's working in Turlock? Hey, what's happening in Kingsburg? Hey, what are you learning in Visalia? Hey, what's happening who knows where? And now we've taken what God has entrusted to us and we're helping more people. That's ADA. That's the concept. Now, the other thing, though, with that is what happens when said community calls and goes, that sounds great, but dude, I'm in commercial real estate. So I'm not a pastor and I don't want to be a pastor. I go, don't worry. We've launched an internship, and that's what we're doing, is we're training pastors. We're training church planting pastors who have the chutzpah and the training to go make it happen. All they need is a group of people that'll put up with them. So we'll send you 4 or 5 names. You interview who you want. You hire who you want. We don't care. We're going to train them, but we're going to certify them well-trained. They get our philosophy. They understand the concept. It's not about us. It's about him. They help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood. This is our program. Now, the program that we're launching is going to have 3 phases. An exposure phase for people to go, look, I don't want to plant a church, but I love what y'all are doing, and I just want to see it. We'll pull the curtain back. It's very unimpressive up close, but come. For some, they say, this is what I want to do. I want to be a church planter, so we'll train them up to be a minister and then ship them out. But for others, they're going to go, hey, we already got a guy, but he's young and doesn't have any training, and you know, we would just love to, you know, have some training for him. We'll bring him in, train him on the fast track, launch him out. So we've got an internship. We're going to get Ephesians 4 good at training and equipping leaders. That's what we're going to spend our next 10 years working on. One final thing. We have been behind the scenes demoing something that in some ways I think will fundamentally change the game in church forever. And it's the concept of the anatomy of a disciple. Now, those of you who've been in life groups have been exposed to this. We've been kind of demoing it behind the scenes, exposing you to it, wanting to see, do the concepts work? We've also been taking these concepts and I've been teaching them at conferences, teaching them at retreats, and here's what I'm finding. People are losing their minds because this concept is a game changer. Have you ever noticed how ironic it is, by the way, if let's say you're a golfer, any of you golfers in here? It's like an obsession from what I'm told. And so if I say, how's your golf game? You're like, well, which part? I mean, my high fade on my driver's not doing what I wish it would. You know, I need to get up and down, you know, more effectively. I need to quit 3-putting. I'm good with my sand saves, but my 7-iron, I need to work on that, right? You know all the details. If you're in business, I say, tell me about your business. Some of you guys, it's like, oh, like here comes Excel. You know exactly how you're doing. And then why is it when I say, how are you doing spiritually, we turn into, no offense, but middle school kids. How's your day? It's fine. Sorry, I just offended all of our, you know, junior high kids, my bad. So, how's your spiritual life? It's good. So spiritually, man, how, you and the Lord, what's going on? It's cool. Come on, that's it? Well, I realize why we're like that, because we don't have any idea what to say. It's not that we're trying to play it off. We just have there's no things to hang stuff on. We have no idea how to communicate how we're doing. So what we're deciding to do is take the anatomy of a disciple and really launch it out. We are, God willing, going to complete the rough draft of a book on Thursday that will, Lord willing, be released in January, written by Rick and myself. We're very excited about that. We also, for those of you who've been around the anatomy of a disciple, we have an online assessment that we've taken down and we're revamping. We're revamping to make it awesome. And the idea will be that you read the book, you take the assessment, and it gives you an understanding of how you're doing. So now you can articulate with a bit of depth, this is how I'm doing. My core is good, but my generosity sector is a little weak, and I know I need to work on that. But I'm strong in my relationship sector. I'm feeling good about that. It's like, oh man, now we're having a conversation here. Not only that, but the assessment is not just going to come with a PDF, but now with a personalized and prescribed plan of spiritual formation just for you. Have you ever taken one of those personality tests and you're like, dude, that's creepy. How did they know? Right? Like, they just asked me if I liked operating heavy equipment, and yet there I am. Like, how did they know? What we're going to do is give you now a prescribed plan of spiritual formation where you're going to read it and go, dude, that's right where I'm at. Because of the questions that you ask, or questions we ask and you answer, we're able to give you exactly what you want and then help you take the next step. See, look, if you're terrible in moral discernment, right? Like, you're just a moral wreck, okay? And we've all been there. What good would it do if all we ever did was say, you need to be better morally? You're like, dude, I know that. That's why I'm so frustrated spiritually. So this plan is going to be customized to give you wins and let you now take your faith to the next level, one step at a time. And so we're going to do it. We're going to put it out there. And if God chooses to use it, great. But we realized that if we never put it out there, that it never comes up to be anything. But maybe in 10 years, maybe we've learned something. Maybe God has taught us something. Maybe what can happen now is we'll bring staffs from other churches in and go, you need to meet the people. And you'll be able to tell them about the ministry that you're a part of and why you do what you do and what it means to live every neighborhood and what it means to take your faith and be the church. And now you get to train and equip churches and pastors from all over if God would give us the influence. That's what we're doing with the anatomy of a disciple. So if you've wondered, okay, the last 10 years, I get it. What's the next 10 look like? There it is. ADA, internship, and the anatomy of a disciple. Those are three initiatives that we're rolling out. Now, in order for us to do it, I'll be candid with you. It's going to take every single one of us. This church is a grassroots movement. You need to hear that. It rests on the backs of people like you. Now, I'll be honest with you. We have a tremendous staff team. They're some of the most talented and dynamic people I've ever been around in ministry. I go into the office and I look around and I just think, man, these people are unreal, but they're not enough. This church is built upon the backs of you. When we are the church, when we recognize what God has for us. And so as we look at what's going to happen over the next 10 years, it's us. And I'm very excited to see what God might do. Because as fun as the last 10 has been, the next 10, I think, are going to be even better. And so let's pray together. We're going to worship a little bit more. Worship team, if you'll come on out. We're going to sing a song of celebration and just kind of mark the moment yet again with what God has done. And I encourage you, when we're done, I'll dismiss us here in just a little bit after we sing, but I encourage you to hang out. One of the things that has been a mark of a healthy church is the amount of time that people hang out after the service is over. So why don't you, after the service, mingle around, talk about what is it that you heard that you go, that's interesting. What is it that you heard that you go, I think they're nuts, or that'll never work. Fine, talk about it, light the fires, we don't care. We think in the midst of it, that's what makes this place pretty special. Let me pray, we'll worship a little bit. Father in heaven, we realize that unless the Lord build the house, the people labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord watches the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. We realize it's a vain thing to stay up late or wake up early and eat the bread of painful labor, for you give to your beloved even while we sleep. And so, Father, we ask for your blessing upon this church, not for our namesake, not for our glory, but for yours. Father, we as a community are going to decrease and simply lift up the name of Jesus and pray, God, that you would use this place for your own renown, for your own glory, for your own power, for your own majesty. God, we're just crazy enough to show up, and we don't have much still. We got a little loaf, we got a little fish, we got Jack. But we know if we bring whatever little we have to you, you'll multiply it and you'll feed your people, because that's what you do. So God, we're crazy enough to show up. Use us if you would be so pleased. This church that has been built for 10 years upon the foundation of the person and work of Jesus Christ, may that never change. But God, would you open doors that no one could shut in whatever city you call us to? Our answer is yes. We have no map on the wall with strategic pins. This is no rollout plan of the 15 cities we want to impact in the next whatever years. This is all about you. And God, if you move, we're gone. We'll do it. But God, we want to be ready and we want it to be of you. So Lord, we give it to you. Use us, I pray, that in 10 more years as we look back, we are as fulfilled and exhausted as we are this very day, pouring our guts out for you. And we'll thank you for your church. We'll thank you for Jesus. And we'll thank you for the privilege to lift up the name of Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.